إن الحمد لله
Surely all
نحمده
praises to Allah, we
ونستعينه
praise Him, we rely
ونستغفره
on Him, we ask His
ونعوذ
forgiveness,
بالله من شرور
we seek refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves
أعمالنا.
and for the bad among our deeds.
يهده الله
He whom Allah
فلا
guides, no one will lead astray, He whom He leads
له.
astray, no one will guide, and
وأشهد
I
أن
bear
لا
witness there is no
إله
God but
إلا
Allah,
الله
alone with no
وحده لا
companions,
شريك له
and I
وأشهد
bear
أن
witness that
محمدا
Muhammad
عبده
is His servant and messenger,
صلى
Allah
الله
وسلم.
عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد
Continuing where we left off in explaining the book of the Best of Faith by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah grant him mercy. In the past few sessions, we learned that Shaykh al-Islam replied to the arguments of Khawarij and Mu'tazila, who say that whoever dies without repenting from a major sin that he or she performed, then they will spend eternity in the fire, and that all their good deeds are not going to be counted. And that's what the Khawarij and Mu'tazila say. And Ibn Taymiyyah replies to that and rebuts their arguments and shows us in the end that whoever dies without repenting from a major sin is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He or she may be tormented or may be completely forgiven, and even if they are tormented, they will not spend eternity in hell as long as they are monotheistic in faith. And Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah started showing us ten reasons for sins to be forgiven other than repentance.
ولكن نظرا لحصوله على سبب او اكثر.
And so he's trying to tell us that there are other reasons other than repentance for which sins may be forgiven without punishment. Of course, in the end, it's all under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those 10 reasons he has mentioned so far, three of them. The first one is repentance, of course. The second is asking for forgiveness. And the third one was doing good deeds that the delete those bad deeds. Shaykh al-Islam told us that asking for forgiveness is its own separate reason other than repentance, because repentance is never going back to the bad deed, but istighfar, or asking for forgiveness, may or may not be accompanied with complete refrain or refraining from the bad deed or the major sin. And good works or good deeds, if someone has them, they may be counted as a reason for having someone's sins forgiven. We all know the story of the prostitute who fed a dog some water and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave. The fourth reason here, which we stopped at last time, is the supplication of other faithful people to the person. And so if someone supplicates for someone else, that may be a reason for having that someone's sin forgiven. He's citing a hadith narrated by Aisha, saying that Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever dies and has 100 people praying for him, all of them asking for his forgiveness or her forgiveness, that he or she will be forgiven, and their intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody dies and a large number of people ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have that someone's sins forgiven, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that and will forgive their sin.
Also
Rasulullah said,
فيقوم على جنازته أربعون رجلا لا يشركون بالله شيئا إلا شفعهم
40 men pray at his or her grave, 40 men who do not take companions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their creed, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have his sins forgiven, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their intercession and forgive him for her.
قال وهذا دعاء له بعد الموت.
And this is, as we know, it's accepted to supplicate for someone after their death. Supplicating for, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of that person's sins.
عند المتنازعين أو عند المنازعين فعلم أن هذا الدعاء من أسباب المغفرة للميت. يعني يقول الآن لو أن هذا الميت
Now he's saying that if this person, this dead person that we're talking about in this hadith, is someone who stayed away from major sin, and as we know, staying away from major sin is will cause the minor sins to be forgiven, inshallah, as long as we stay on faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who stay away from major sins to forgive their minor ones. And so, if the hadith referred to someone who committed only minor sins, then that would be redundant, because minor sins are forgiven by default if major sins are avoided. And so, the hadith, according to the conclusion of Ibn Taymiyyah, has to refer to major sins, not just minor ones.
السبب الخامس ما يعمل عنه من أعمال البر كالصدقة ونحوها فإن هذا ينتفع به بنصوص السنة الصحيحة الصريحة واتفاق وكذلك العتق والحج السبب الخامس من أسباب رفع العذاب دفع العقاب ما يعمل عن الميت من أعمال البر
is things that people do in the name of a dead person, such as charity, etc. For example, someone may perform charity and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the reward for this goes to my dead father or my dead mother. Some people can do that. You can perform salah or psalm and say and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the reward of that to the dead person. Rasulullah gave us an example. Whoever dies and has some fasting to do that he hasn't, then his successor can fast for him or her. Another example. If someone takes an oath to fast a day and dies before he or she could fast that day, then there are several hadiths indicating that their successors, one of them can fast for them, and the reward of that fasting will go to the dead person. And that does not go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, nobody will get the reward except for what they did.
So,
there may be an apparent contradiction here between the verse and those hadiths, but the author is saying there's no contradiction. And he's got two proofs for that.
أحدهما
the first one أنه is
قد ثبت بالنصوص
المتواترة وإجماع السلف by
أن المؤمن
a lot of narrations and the unanimity of scholars that people can benefit and reward from things that they did not necessarily do themselves.
يقول ثبت في نصوص أخرى من الكتاب والسنة وإجماع الأمة أن الميت ينتفع بأشياء ليست من فعله كدعاء الملائكة
like the supplication of the angels. And we know that in the Quran it's been mentioned several times that angels supplicate for the forgiveness of faithful people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who carry the throne and those who are around them, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they ask for the forgiveness of the faithful, for forgiveness for faithful people.
للذين تابوا واتبعوا سبيلك وقهم عذاب الجحيم.
And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard them from the torment of the fire.
ومن صلح من آبائهم وأزواجهم وذرياتهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم وقهم السيئات ومن تق السيئات يومئذ فقد رحمته وذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
And so those verses from the Surah Ghafir show us that angels supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the faithful. And so this is proof that rewards don't come only from what people do themselves. It can happen through the supplication of angels and also the supplications of prophets and faithful people and pious people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet and tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the faithful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says your supplication brings tranquility to their lives.
آية وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى ليست على عمومها قطعا
and so the verse that says that people are only rewarded for what they do is not absolute is not to be taken absolutely it's only it only describes the general state of affairs
عند الله وصلوات الرسول يثنى الله تعالى على بعض الأعراب الذين يؤمنون بالله ويؤمنون باليوم الآخر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praises some of the Arabians that were living around the Medina at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that they spend charity and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and asking for the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their benefit. And so and this is something that it's not they who do it. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for his own forgiveness and for the forgiveness of the faithful among men and women.
من زار قبر الميت دعا له
and as we know we routinely ask for forgiveness for dead people when we visit their graves or when we pray at their graves after their death
أنه ليس له إلا سعيه وهذا حق فإنه لا يملك ولا يستحق لا يملك ويستحق إلا سعي نفسه وأما سعي غيره فلا يملكه ولا يستحقه لكن هذا لا يمنع أن ينفع
Now the author goes back to explaining the verse again that says that people are not rewarded except for what they do. It says that what the verse means is that we don't own and we don't
لا يمنع أن الله تعالى يرحمه بأسباب من سعي غيره
وإن كان that we don't own except what we do ourselves.
يعني برحمة من الله تعالى.
But it does not necessarily mean that we cannot benefit from what others do.
يرحم عباده بأسباب خارجة عن مقدورهم. يقول من أسباب الرحمة ليست بالضرورة أنها تكون أشياء محدودة الإنسان ومن عمله. فهناك أسباب للرحمة ليست في
causes for mercy
من عمله، ولكن يجعلها الله تعالى سببا في الرحمة.
Are not always
قال وهو سبحانه
related
وتعالى
to what a person does directly.
بأسباب تفعلها العباد ليصيب أولئك على تلك الأسباب فيرحم الجميع. يعني يقول أحيانا يأمر الله تعالى
sometimes orders
زيدا بعمل يعمله لعم
someone to do something to do something for someone else so that both will get rewarded.
في رحمة العامل وفي رحمة من عمل له العمل. كما في الحديث الصحيح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم
such as the hadith ما من
رجل يدعو
لأخيه
بدعوة
no man
إلا وكل الله
for the sake of his brother.
كلما دعا لأخيه قال الملك الموكل به آمين ولك بمثل.
Except that Allah SWT will send down an angel to him. And whenever he says a supplication for the benefit of his brother, the angel would say Ameen, and to you the same. And so if you supplicate for your brother or sister, then an angel will repeat your supplication for them. And we'll say the same supplication to Allah SWT for that benefit to fall upon you as well.
روت عنه زوجه أم الدرداء تقول يعني إني أراك تدعو لإخوانك أكثر مما تدعو لنفسك.
And the narrator of the hadith, Abu Darda, his wife saw him once. His wife told him once that you supplicate to other people almost more than you supplicate for your own sake. And then he mentioned this hadith.
أوثق مني بدعوتي
لنفسي. كان رضي الله عنه. إذا أراد
أن يدعو لنفسه بالخير
يدعو more confident in the supplication of the angel than my own supplication.
يقول له آمين ولك بمثل. يقول أنا يعني أرجو استجابة دعاء الملك أكثر.
So he hopes that the supplication of the angel would be accepted better than his own for himself.
هذا دليل على أن قوله تعالى وليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى ليس معناه
This is another indication that the verse that nobody benefits from except from what they do does not exclude benefiting from others.
Rasulullah said
also in
Hadith Sahih,
whoever prays
كمية أو مقدار عظيم من الأجر
for the sake of that person
من الحسنات ومن الأجر
then he will have a certain amount of reward mentioned as a qirat. Qirat is a certain amount a certain weight measure
على هذا. فهو يستفيد أنه ينال يعني
and whoever follows that person to their grave until they're buried, they will receive even more reward. So the final summary here is that this fifth reason for the forgiveness of sin is the supplication of good pious people for the sake of that dead person. And also good deeds that are performed in the name of that dead person by others. The majority of scholars also say reciting Quran
يعني يرجح هذا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وابن القيم وغيره يقولون إن ثواب قراءة القرآن إذا وهبها الإنسان المتوفى
if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the reward of that recitation to a dead person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send that reward to the dead person. The sixth
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
is the intercession of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم
وغيره في أهل الذنوب يوم القيامة
and others on the day of judgment
على المذنبين ولو كانوا من أهل الكبائر. شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وغيره
the intercession of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and others on the day of judgment for people of sin on the day of judgment. Many hadith have been narrated by several people.
شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي.
For example, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith صحيح, my intercession will go to the people of kabair, major sin, from among my nation.
سيشفع فيهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسيكون هذا سببا في رفع العذاب عن فئة كبيرة من أهل الكبائر, يعني في أول دفعة دون أن يدخل النار, ومنهم من يشاء الله تعالى أن يدخل النار فيعيد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شفاعته فيهم.
And as we know, some of those people of major sin will not even enter hell to begin with, and some of them will enter hell and spend varying amounts of time until Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, his intercession reaches them.
وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم,
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم also said,
I was given a choice between
having half of my nation entering Jannah only and being given intercession, but I chose intercession instead. And he said, do you think that my intercession is going to go to the pious? No, it's going to go to the people of sin.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خيركم بين ان يدخل نصف امتي الجنه وبين الشفاعه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير بين هذين الامرين فاختار الشفاعه. لماذا؟ قال لانها اعم واكثر, يدخل نصف امته الجنه لكن هو يرجو صلى الله عليه وسلم ان يدخلها بشفاعته اكثر من
ذلك. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is hoping that more than half of his nation will enter Jannah using his intercession.
لا ولكنها للمذنبين المتلوثين الخطائين. له عده روايات عند احمد والترمذي وابن ماجه. فاذا السبب السادس هو شفاعة النبي.
So the sixth reason here is the intercession of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and others, whether it's prophets, martyrs, pious people, many people will be given the right to intercede on the day of judgment for other people.
The seventh reason
is calamities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to forgive or to wipe off sins from the books of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Nothing hits a mu'min or a faithful person, whether it's stress or fear or harm or any bad thing, even a thorn that would poke him, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use that to forgive some of their sins.
من أصغر يعني أذى يتعرض له المسلم حتى أن يشاك بشوكة فإن هذا يكفر من خطايا. فمعناه أن المصائب سبب تكفير الخطايا.
Hardship is a reason Allah سبحانه وتعالى uses to forgive our sins.
أهل الكبائر إذا كان من أهل المصائب والابتلاء في الدنيا فإنهم قد يرفع عنهم العذاب بهذا.
And so the people that commit major sin, if they go through hardship or calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may use that to forgive their major sins for them.
والمصائب في حق المؤمن إذا كان من أهل الذنوب فتكون تكفيرا للذنب, وإذا كفرت ذنوبه فما أصابه من مصائب تكون سببا في رفعة درجته ومنزلته عند الله تعالى, لأنه وردت أحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله تعالى
if the person is pious and does not commit major sin, then those calamities and hardship will cause them to have even a higher reward on the day of judgment.
فيقدر الله تعالى عليه بعض المصائب أو الابتلاءات لترفع درجته وتوصله إلى أن يكون من أهل هذه المنزلة.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that a lot of pious people will be given a level in Jannah that they will not reach just by their good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some hardship to their lives in order to elevate them up to that level that they deserve.
ثم إيه يقال له هل رأيت بؤسا قط فيقول ما رأيت بؤسا في يعني ينسى كل هذا ويهمل. قال السبب الثامن ما يحصل في القبر من الفتنة والضغط والروعة. فتنة هي الامتحان. سؤال الملكين منكر ونكير.
There will be a test. The two angels will come to the dead person and ask them, who is your Lord, what is your religion, and who is your prophet? But they seem to be easy questions to us, but at that time it will be accompanied by a lot of fear, a lot of terror.
لو نجا منها also, أحد نجا منها سعد بن معاذ لو كان أحد
there would be a squeeze or a ضغطة in the grave.
يحصل له ضغطة في القبر.
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the people will be squeezed in their graves, and if anybody was to get away from that squeeze, it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who was a very pious mu'min at that time. But even so, he did not, he was not spared of that.
And
so all these calamities are reasons for the forgiveness of sin. The ninth reason is the horrors of the Day of Judgment and the hardship that people will face on the Day of Judgment.
And
the tenth reason is Allah's mercy and His forgiveness with no reason that people would do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives whoever he pleases, even if they don't have an actual reason to reach Jannah. So if we confirm that the punishment can be pushed off the people of sin by those 10 reasons, then the arguments of the Khawarij and Mu'tazila that major sin is not forgiven except by repentance, then that argument is refuted.
لأنه سبق في كتاب الله تعالى وسنة
رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هناك عشر أسباب لرفع العذاب. Major sin can never be forgiven except by only repentance. That's a false argument. He has shown several examples from the Quran and Sunnah.
بعد ذلك قال فصل فهذان القولان قول الخوارج الذين يكفرون بمطلق الذنوب ويخلدون في النار وقول من يخلدهم في النار ويجزم بأن الله لا يغفر لهم إلا
بالتوبة. The author says that
هو قول المعتزلة الآن يرد على قول الخوارج.
The argument of the Khawarij who said that those who commit major sin are kuffar and they should be treated like apostates.
والمعتزلة
say that they should not be considered apostates in life, but they will spend eternity in hell regardless. So that's the difference between the two arguments. The author, of course, is against both arguments. Saying that none of the people of Sharia or the people of Hadith, none of the scholars have used those arguments ever before. Starting from the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم all the way to the time of the author.
يكفرون في الدنيا ويخلدون في النار في الآخرة.
He says that nobody has said that except the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation and religion. And the same goes to the extreme murji'ah who say that it doesn't matter what you do, you as long as you have even an inkling of faith, you will enter Jannah right away. No, the murji'ah say, some of them, the extreme ones, say that they say that it's possible that no people who commit major sin will ever enter the fire, even temporarily, ever, as long as they have an inkling of faith in them.
الجنة مباشرة بدون أن يعذب في النار أحد. لكنهم لا يجزمون بذلك.
So although they don't say absolutely, they say maybe, they say it's possible.
قال هو أيضا من الأقوال المبتدعة. بل
السلف The author says that this is also an innovation in religion. It's not. It has never been confirmed by any of the pious predecessors of the companions. أهل القبلة ثم يخرجون منه.
Because several hadiths have been mentioned
that a lot of people, a lot of Muslims will enter the fire and be taken out of it afterwards.
ويشفع فيهم النبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم ويشهد على their behalf
النبيون والصديقون والشهداء والصالحين جاءت أحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يقال
that's how they will be taken out.
الصالحين من أهل الجنة يعني يشفعون عند الله سبحانه وتعالى في من كانوا يعرفون من المسلمين في الدنيا ممن دخل النار.
Also the martyrs and pious people will intercede for the sake of people that they knew in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them go into the fire and get the people who you knew in life out of the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the fire to be safe for them to enter. They will go in and they will pick out those people that they, their acquaintances in life, and take them out. Take them out of the fire.
يعذبون فترة ثم يخرجون منها ووردت الأحاديث أنهم يغتسلون في نهر يقال له نهر الحياة.
And also hadiths have been mentioned that those people who are taken out of the fire will be put in a river in Jannah called the river of life,
نهر الحياة.
And that's when their skin will and their flesh will come back to them. And so a lot of texts have mentioned that this has to happen. A number of people from among the Muslims will enter the fire and will be taken out.
قال وأما من جزم بأنه لا يدخل النار أحد من أهل القبلة قال فهذا لا أعرفه قولا لأحد.
Sheikh Islam now says that those who confirm and say absolutely no Muslim will enter hell at all.
بعض الناس أخطأ يعني ونسب أو ادعى أن هناك قولا
then that is not then we have never heard anybody say that ever. He's saying that some people claim that the murji'ah say that nobody will enter hell for sure, that they confirmed absolutely that nobody will enter hell as long as they are Muslim. Now Shaykh al-Islam is being objective here, although he has different arguments with the murji'ah, but he said that it has never reached me that any one of the murji'ah has said that they confirm absolutely that no one will enter the fire.
قول يعني شر منه من يقول ما ثم عذاب أصلا ولا يدري لا إذن إيه.
Now Ibn Taymiyyah continues talking about false arguments, and he says that some people
قد لا يدخل النار أحد من
أهل. Some of the Murji'ah say it's possible that nobody will enter the fire. And we've never heard of any Murji'ah that say that absolutely no one will enter the fire. They all say maybe. And he says that there's a group of people who say something that's worse. They say that there is really no torment in the fire. And it's only a scare tactic. And this is something that only disbelievers would say. So whoever claims that there is no fire, and it's all something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using to scare us, and it doesn't really exist, whoever says that has to be a disbeliever.
ذلك يخوف الله به.
Some of them may use the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes fear in the hearts of His servants by that. There's a verse that says that. And he said, they use that verse saying that that means that there's really no fire.
قال فيقال لهذا يرد على هؤلاء
to reply to
فيقال لهذا التخويف إنما يكون تخويفا إذا كان هناك مخوف
يمكنه الوقوع
بالمحور.
If the thing that is used to strike fear actually exists,
وقوعه بالمحور. فإذا لم يكن هناك من يمكن وقوعه
in existence, then striking fear would be ineffective. And so you can frighten someone from fire or from from like a lion or a tiger or something that can harm. But you can't really frighten someone by something that doesn't even exist.
Sheikh
al-Islam always used to use logical arguments. He always used the same arguments of the people of Bid'ah to reply to them. I mean, he used the same texts that they used to reply to them. For example, here the disbelievers say that the fire doesn't exist because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He frightens His servants by mentioning the fire. So Shaykh al-Islam here uses the same verse and proves to them that their argument is not true, because nobody can really frighten anybody by something that doesn't exist.
لا يحصل به تخويف للعقلاء المميزين لأنهم إذا علموا أنه ليس هناك شيء مخوف زال الخوف.
You can only frighten by something that doesn't exist to those who are either little children or are mentally challenged. It's just like the parents frightening their children using the boogeyman argument, or and so the children can be frightened by things that don't exist, but you can't really frighten adults who are fully mentally capable with things that don't exist.
قال وهذا شبيه بما تقول ملاحدة المتفلسفة والفرائض.
This says that this argument that the fire doesn't exist is similar to the arguments of other so-called philosophers like the Qalamita. The Qalamita are a group of Shia who stole the black stone from Kaaba and they killed a bunch of pilgrims.
من أن الرسل خاطبوا الناس بإظهار أمور من الوعد والوعيد لا حقيقة لها في
الباطن. That prophets came forth and warned people from things that don't even exist and are not really real.
ادعوا أكثر من هذا والعياذ بالله تعالى أن كل ما جاءت به الرسل أنه لا حقيقة له والعياذ بالله تعالى وإنما هي أمثال مضروبة
and that they're only metaphors. And so everything that the prophets mentioned regarding the Day of Judgment and the fire and everything are things that don't really exist.
بزعم أن هذا كله إنما هي أمثال مضروبة يعني ضربها الرسل ليفهم الناس
and that they're all metaphors.
حال النفس بعد مفارقة الجسد يعني وأنها إيه تكون يعني طريقة النصارى النصارى مع
it's يعني kind of like the way Christians
أن دائما الفرق المبتدعة يعني
or some of their sects understand torment and reward. They say that it's a metaphorical thing, it's not an actual real thing. And they say that the torment really is the torment of oneself being uncomfortable with oneself, and that reward is really the tranquility and the peace that people feel by doing good. And they don't believe in the reality of Jannah and the fire.
النار وعذابها هي أمثال مضروبة وما أظهروه لهم من الوعد والوعيد وإن كان لا حقيقة له فإنما تعلق لمصلحتهم في الدنيا إذ كان لا يمكن تقويمهم إلا بهذه الطريقة يعني يدعون
The author says that those deviant sects say that the prophets and messengers only talked about the Day of Judgment and Jannah and the fire in order to improve society by striking fear from doing sin and encouraging people to do good things. And Sheikh Hassan now replies to those. And he says that this, even though it's obviously wrong,
هذا الكلام يقول فساده معلوم بالضرورة من دين الرسل يقول فلو كان الأمر كذلك لكان خواص الرسل الأذكياء يعلمون ذلك وإذا علموا زالت محافظتهم على الأمر والنهي
And if they know, then their keenness on encouraging people to do good and refrain from sin would fade away. So if you're calling people to stay away from sin and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you yourself don't really know that Jannah and the fire are only metaphorical, they don't really exist, then you can't really go through all the hardships that the prophets and messengers have gone through. To try to prove your point and to try to guide
people. يوهمونهم ايه بهذه الاشياء لكنهم في قرارة انفسهم يعتقدون انه لا جنة ولا نار ولا نعيم ولا عذاب فلذلك لا يمتثلون الامر والنهي الخواص منهم تجدهم لا يحافظون على الصلاة ولا الصيام
and so you'd find the prophets and messengers don't necessarily fast and don't necessarily pray and they don't refrain from drinking alcohol because they would know that hell and paradise don't really exist.
لكن يقول إذا جئت إلى حال
to the way that they used to live, the prophets and the messengers, and their close companions, you'll find that they are the most in the most obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most keen on keeping good faith and performing good works and staying away from sin. Rasulullah used to stay up all night praying until his feet would swell. Sometimes he would recite the Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran in one rak'ah,
and he may
read 1/7 of the Quran in one night.
And that's
him even when he was a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that all his sins will be forgiven, he also struggled for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in about 27 battles.
And that
he was the least the least keen on lively good on earthly good. He would spend days and nights without anything, any food in his house at all. Even though he had all kinds of wealth running between his hands, but he used to give it to everybody else because he was never really seeking earthly good. And the same goes for his close companions, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. They always used to be the best in worship and reciting Quran and in teaching people until the very end of their lives. Umar used to cry out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he had marks on his face where tears would run. And so those who say that the prophets were actually lying, and they knew that the fire in paradise didn't really exist, then if that's true, then he wouldn't have done all this worship. He wouldn't have gone through all this the hardships that he's gone through, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rest of the prophets.
القرامطة والإسماعيلية والنصارية، هؤلاء يقولون أفسق الناس وأفجر الناس ويلحقون نكاح المحرمات والعياذ بالله ويلحقون.
And you find that those Qaramita, those so-called philosophers, you find them to be the worst among people in performing all kinds of sin.
قال فإن البارعة يتكلم هنا عن الملاحدة من الفلاسفة والقرامطة والإسماعيلية والنصارية. يقول فإن البارع منهم في العلم والمعرفة يزول عنه عندهم الأمر والنهي، وتباح لهم محظورات، وتسقط عنه الواجبات، فتظهر أضغانهم وتنكشف أسرارهم. يقول أئمة الإيه؟ الفرامطة والسرية والإسماعيلية.
The leaders of those Qaramita and Ismailiyya and Nusayriyya and all those deviant groups, they think that they reach a level in knowledge where it suddenly becomes okay for them to do all kinds of sin. And when they do that, they show the rest of people how deviant they really are and how misguided they are. And that's why people name them Batiniyya. Batiniyya means those who hide other than what they show. They show that they they want to be good scholars and good faithful people, but the people know that they're hiding disbelief.
لَكَانَ خَوَاصُّهُ قَدْ عَرَفُوا وَلَظَهَرَ بَاطِنُهُ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالتَّحْقِيقِ مِنْ جِنْسِ دِينِ الْبَاطِنِهِ.
And if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the rest of the prophets really were lying, then those that are closest to them would have known that. They would have known that.
فلو من المعلوم بالاضطرار أن الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم
كان أعلم الناس
بباطن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وظاهره وأخبر الناس بمقاصده ومراداته كانوا أعظم الأمة لزوما
لطاعة أمره سرا وعلانية ومحافظة
على ذلك إلى الموت.
Because the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the closer they were to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the more obedient they were to the commands of the religion, and the closer they were to good faith and good works and staying away from sin until they die.
ومحافظة على ذلك إلى الموت. وكل من كان منهم إليه أقرب وبه أخص وبباطنه أعلى كأبي بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما كان أعظمهم لزوما بطاعته سرا وعلانية ومحافظة على أداء الواجب واجتناب المحرم
باطنا وظاهرا.
هذا يدل على أن دين الإسلام ليس فيه يعني دين خواص ودين عوام وأسرار.
And so here the author is telling us that Islam is not a religion where some knowledge can be shown to the public and some knowledge is only used for a specific And also, another group of deviants are the extreme among the Sufis. Some of those are disbelievers because they believe or they claim that you're only obliged to do good and stay away from bad as long as you are what they call a striver, someone who is still on the path. And they use the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and worship your Lord until you're sure, or until complete knowledge reaches you. Of course, this complete knowledge really is death, because nobody is absolutely completely sure like they see it until they die. But they claim that this yaqeen, or this complete knowledge, is something that they can reach in life. And so when they reach it, they stop worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
زاعمين أن اليقين هو ما يدعونه من المعرفة.
They claim that this yaqeen or this sureness is a level that they reached in life.
قال واليقين هنا الموت.
But yaqeen is death.
فإن قوله تعالى واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين, يقين معناه الموت.
Because in a different
يعني تفسير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله وفعله,
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's acts in his life all indicate that yaqeen is really death, because he kept worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from sin until the final moment of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in his final sickness, he would be brought to the masjid. He would be brought by two men, one on each side, to the masjid, all the way so that he would perform prayer.
And لإقامة الصلاة في أيام الأخيرة صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And sometimes his companions would wait for him.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And sometimes he would even faint while praying.
يفرح الصحابة.
And then he would wake up.
فيغشى عليه مرة أخرى ويتكرر هذا.
And sometimes he would faint repeatedly.
أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس من حجز يعني.
Until he absolutely couldn't be an imam in Salah, even though he always kept worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he died. And so if anyone can reach a level of knowledge where they would not be required to perform good and stay away from bad, then that would have been Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أن اليقين معناه الموت يعني وهذا أيضا في كتاب الله تعالى ما يفيد هذا قال واليقين هنا الموت وما بعده كما قال الله تعالى
يقين وما بعد الموت and what follows death
يوم القيامة
what happens on the grave and what happens on the day of judgment, etc.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of the fire that they say, we used to dwell among the dwellers and we used to lie or we used to deny the day of judgment until yaqeen came to us, and, which means until death came to us.
ظلوا يكذبون بيوم الدين إلى مثلا إلى أن ماتوا فلما ماتوا أتاهم اليقين وعلموا أنهم كانوا على
And so when they died, they knew for sure that they were wrong.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسر اليقين
صلى الله عليه وسلم
وقال الحسن البصري إن الله لم يجعل لعباده المؤمنين أجلا دون الموت
Or, I'm sorry, but Al-Hasan al-Basri said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create a limit for how long the faithful people can worship except death. And then he mentioned this verse, or worship your Lord until death comes to you.
ومنه قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم said when عثمان بن مظعون
عثمان بن مظعون رضي الله عنه قال أما
عثمان بن مظعون
فقد أتاه اليقين
has reached a yaqeen or death and this has been narrated by Bukhari
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما عثمان فقد أتاه اليقين يعني أتاه الموت قال وهؤلاء قد يشهدون القدر أولا وهي الحقيقة الكونية ويظنون أن غاية العارف أن يشهد القدر ويفنى عن هذا الشهود وذلك المشهد لا تميز فيه بين المأمور والمحفوظ يقول يعني سبب ضلال هؤلاء المتصوفة
He says that the author says that the reason why those deviant Sufis became deviant is
من ضلالهم أنهم جعلوا الطائع والعاصي جميعا طائعين لأمر الله
Because they believe that we are all completely controlled in what we do and we don't have anything and we don't have any say in what we do they made everybody at the same level they made all the sinners and the believers they put them all on the same level because we don't have control over what we do
يكون مؤمنا او كافرا فهناك مقادير الله سبحانه وتعالى الكونيه هذه الاوامر الكونيه فاذا نظرت الى الاوامر الكونيه تجد ان الخلق جميعا يطيعون اوامر الله الكونيه يعني الزاني والسارق وشارب الخمر وتارك الصلاه هؤلاء يطيعون امر الله تعالى الكوني يعني ان الله تعالى قدر عليهم ذلك يقول هؤلاء المتصوفة الذين ضلوا في هذا الباب وادعوا أن هناك يعني غاية يصل إليها المتعبد يصبح من أهل اليقين ويرتفع عنه التكبير كما يصبح من طلبة العبادة. فيقول هؤلاء يعني سبب ضلالهم وانحرافهم أنهم يعني لم يعملوا بأمر الله تعالى الشرعي، وإنما نظروا إلى الأمر الكوني فوجدوا أن الطائع والعاصي لله تعالى كلاهما مطيع.
They say that all people, whether good believers or sinners, will only do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them do that.
تارك الصلاة شاء الله له ذلك، الكافر شاء الله أن يكفر، المهتدي شاء الله أن يهتدي. إذن كلهم مطيعون لأمر الله الكوني،
really obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whatever they do is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them do it. And so they lifted all fault from sinners.
المشركين الذين ذم الله تعالى اعتقادهم الذين قالوا
and of course when they did that they were mimicking the pagans of Mecca. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to invite them to Islam, they used to say, whether we believe or not is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe, we will. And so they used the argument of fate to continue on sinning.
وذلك المشهد لا تميز فيه بين المأمور والمحظور وموجبات الله ومكروهاته أو محبوبات الله ومكروهاته وأوليائه وأعدائه. يعني يشهد القدر يعني وينظر إليه بدون النظر إلى الشرع وينشغل بالقدر عن الشرع، ف
and the author says that if you look only at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will without looking at Sharia or without looking at religion, and if you look at everything that happens as being by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everyone is really obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to their argument.
وقد يقول أحدهم بعض هؤلاء المتصوفة الذين يعني وصلوا إلى ما وصل إليه الباطنية من إسقاط الأوامر والنواهي
والتكاليف الشرعية.
قد يقول أحدهم العالم شهد أولا الطاعة والمعصية ثم شهد طاعة بلا معصية يريد بذلك طاعة القدر. عندهم تلاعب بالألفاظ، يقول العارف أولا يكون في درجة يشهد الطاعة والمعصية، بعد ذلك يصل إلى درجة يشهد طاعة فقط بلا معصية.
لو زنى أو صلى you are doing good and doing bad.
الله تعالى أمر بهذا كونا يعني كل مشيئة.
And at the end, or when you reach a certain level of knowledge, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to do whatever you're doing. So you really don't, you're really not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you're doing good or bad, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling you to do. Of course, this is not true, because it lifts the all fault from the shoulders of sinners. And some of them say that I disbelieve in a Lord that is disobeyed. May Allah give us refuge from that saying. What they're trying to say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never disobeyed, because whoever appears to disobey him is really obeying his command, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to sin. Of course, this is absolutely false.
قيل له عن بعض الظالمين هذا ماله حرام. قيل له عن رجل ظالم يظلم الناس.
Now the continues to say, sometimes you would say to them,
فقال إن كان عصى الأمر فقد أطاع الإرادة.
Has dirty mind.
عصى أمر الله
بالشرع
فأخذ المال بغير حق فقد أطاع إرادة الله يعني وافق الإرادة.
That if whatever they did, they were actually obeying Allah.
قال ثم ينتقلون إلى المشهد الثالث.
Because again they believe that people sin, do all forms of sin, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls them to doing it.
من انتقل إلى مشهد آخر أضل مما قبله.
Now some of them
إلى المشهد الثالث لا طاعة ولا معصية. وهو مشهد أهل الوحدة القائلين بوحدة الوجود. والعياذ بالله تعالى. يتخذون مشهد إيه ثالث؟ يعني أول شيء يعني عندهم إيه ثلاثة مشاهد.
And so he says that the first level.
الإيمان بالطاعة والمعصية. هناك طاعة ومعصية لله. للأوامر الشرعية.
He says that they start at a level where they're just like us. They do good and bad, and they repent from bad, and they try to stick to doing good. And then they reach a second level where they claim that everybody, that they discover suddenly that everybody really is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever they do. So it doesn't matter whether they do good or bad. And then some of them turn into a third level. According to them, saying that in reality there's really nothing as such as sin or good. Good deeds and bad deeds don't really exist. There's nothing as such. And this is the level of disbelief that is the people of Wahda or Ahl al-Wahda say, the people of unity. The people of unity are a specific disbelieving sect that say that everything in the universe is in unity with the Creator, that the Creator is the universe. Everything that we are, we and the whole universe that we live in, is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, believers or disbelievers, they're all part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this is a very false argument.
تعالى الله عما يقولون فهذا غايته الإلحاد أنهم لا يؤمنون بالله تعالى الله عنه ذلك علوا كبيرا قال وهذا غاية إلحاد المبتدعة جهمية الصوفية الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله
And he said that this is an extreme form of disbelief
يتوسع في الإطلاق على
and deviation
وحدة الوجود منهم ابن عربي محي الدين ابن عربي طائي
Among their prominent people are Ibn Arabi and Ibn al-Farid and a few other people. And they, what they really say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't really exist separately. And what that reaches them to is to simply relieve themselves from all kinds of burden, all kinds of sticking to good and refraining from bad.
قال وهذا غاية إلحاد المبتدعة جهمية الصوفية كما أن القرمطة آخر إلحاد الشيعة وكلا الإلحادين يتقاربان يعني
now, those,
منهم
and so now he's saying that the disbelief of the extreme Sufis and the disbelief of the extreme Shias appears to be both kinds of disbelief appear to be similar. And he's saying that the level of disbelief that they reach to has not even been reached by the Jews and the Christians and even the pagans of the Arabs. Because Jews and Christians do believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they worship companions with him. And they believe that he is, at least that he exists separately and that he's his own entity subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of unity don't even believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists separately, that he and the universe are one and the same.
قال فصل ثم بعد ذلك تنازع الناس في اسم المؤمن والإيمان نزاعا كثيرا.
Now the author moves on to a whole different subject, which is what is faith, what is mu'min, what is a faithful person. He says the people have conflicted over the name of mu'min and the name of iman so much. Some of their conflict is about semantics, and a lot of it is about meaning.
يعني من أئمة السلف يعني ممن عبروا عن الإيمان، فبعضهم مثلا يقول كما سيأتي
as we're going to learn that Ibn Amr, for example, that it's saying and doing. And some of them say that it's believing and saying and doing. Now this difference is not really, is only a semantic difference, because the people who say that it's saying and doing, what they mean by doing is that they include the actual faith in your heart, because it's a doing of your heart. It's something that your heart does, and you don't really need to mention the word believing, because believing is a form of doing. And so, and the difference between them and the people who say that faith has to include believing in a separate word, then that's only a semantic difference.
النية هي الاعتقاد، بعضهم يقول نية وقول عمل أو اعتقاد وقول عمل. فمثلا هذه يعني اختلافات شكلية، لكن المضمون المقصود عندهم واحد.
Only semantic, but sometimes the difference would only be, it would also be in the meaning. For example, the Murji'ah say that works are not included in faith. They say that faith is only believing, and it doesn't matter what you do. And so this is a difference in meaning. It's a real difference. Because the people of Sunnah say that faith is not enough to just believe. Faith is also works of faith. For example, Sheikh Abu Hanifa said that faith is only what you believe in your heart and what you say with your tongue, and he considered works that follow to be a fruit of that and not an actual component of faith. But the majority of the scholars of Sunnah consider good works to be an actual part of faith, which is inseparable. And so what follows is that to be called a faithful person or a mu'min, you have to follow your belief and your verbal confirmation by good deeds.
في اسم الإيمان والمؤمن نزاعا كثيرا، منه لفظي وكثير منه معنوي. فإن أئمة الفقهاء لم ينازعوا في شيء مما ذكرناه من الأحكام اللي هي متعلقة يعني بالمصير الأخروي، أن
did not really differ over the final destination of people on the Day of Judgment. Did not really differ that people of faith will either enter the fire temporarily and be taken out of it, or will enter Jannah directly. And the people who have no faith, or the disbelievers, or the pagans, etc., will spend eternity in the fire. Nobody really disputed that among the most prominent scholars.
قال وإن كان بعضهم أعلم بالدين وأقوم به من بعض، ولكن تنازعهم في الأسماء.
But their conflict really about iman
اختلافهم في الأسماء وليس في الأحكام المتركبة.
Their conflict is really in the nomenclature.
هل يزيد وينقص؟
Does it increase and decrease?
فيه أم لا؟ كل هذه المسائل سيشرحها.
And can you say inshallah about your faith? Can you say I'm a faithful person inshallah?
المسألة الأولى هل الإيمان يزيد وينقص أم لا؟ وهل يستثنى فيه أم لا؟ يعني هل يقول أنا مؤمن إن شاء الله أو يقول أنا مؤمن ويجزم بذلك بدون استثناء وقول إن شاء الله؟ وهل
and
الأعمال من الإيمان؟
Are good works considered a part of faith?
وهل الفاسق الملي مؤمن كامل الإيمان؟ فاسق الملي.
A Muslim who performs a lot of sin or the fasiq al-milli. Is he a faithful person, or is he a faithful person with defective faith, or do we call him a faithful person with complete faith? The people who said complete faith are the murji'ah. They say the people of sin, as long as they're Muslim, they are people of complete faith. The pious professors say that they're not considered, they don't deserve the title of faithful. We call them Muslims and we say that their faith is defective. What has been narrated by the companions and the most prominent followers and the majority of the pious predecessors is that iman is verbal and practical. It includes works and it goes up and down. It goes up with more forms of worship and good deeds, and it goes down with bad deeds. And then you can say, inshallah, you can say, I am a mu'min, inshallah.
أم لا قالوا يزيد وينقص من جهة أنه يجوز الاستثناء فيه أم لا قالوا يجوز الاستثناء فيه. قال كما قال عمير بن حبيب الخطمي
عمير بن حبيب الخطمي and other companions say
الإيمان
that faith
يزيد
goes
وينقص.
Up and down and then
فقيل
he was
له
asked,
وما
زيادته
وما نقصانه فقال إذا ذكرنا الله
when we mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise him and we glorify him then that's an increase in our faith and that it or that indicates an increase in our faith and if we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we get lazy in doing good works and staying away from sin, then that's an indication of our faith's decreasing.
بذكر الله وحمده وتسبيحه هذا يزيد الإيمان وينقص بالغفلة والنسيان والتضييع هذا ينقص الإيمان. قال فهذه الألفاظ المأثورة عن جمهوره إنهم قالوا الإيمان قول وعمل. فيذكر بعض الألفاظ الأخرى منقولها عن بعض أئمة السنة لكن يعني اختلافها شكلي وليس أي حقيقة. قال وربما قال بعضهم
start mentioning other sayings from the sayings of prominent scholars. Some of them say
that
iman is verbal and practical and believing.
والعمل عندهم يشمل ثلاثة أقسام عمل القلب وهو
And so they separate completely. They separate the belief from verbal sayings from works.
وعمل اللسان والجوارح.
And some other scholars say that it's only that it's verbal and practical and believing and it's also sticking to the sunnah. And some of them say it's
فإذا الذين قالوا قول وعمل شملوا هذه الأقسام.
And some of them say it's only
قال قول وعمل ونية.
And they didn't say anything about the heart because they considered that practical means working with your body and working with your heart. They considered believing to be a practical thing that your heart does. And so the difference is not really a difference in meaning, it's just a difference in semantics.
قالوا قول وعمل ونية واتباع للسنة. قالوا قول وعمل ونية واتباع للسنة. زادوا إيه؟ اتباع للسنة. فكما سيوضح أن هذا يعني ليس قولا جديدا، هو اتباع السنة هو.
And so the author is going to show us later on that all those different sayings.
قصدوا يعني قولا وعملا يعني موافقا للسنة.
That we just mentioned are only different in the way they look, but they're not really much different from each other in meaning.
وربما قال قول باللسان واعتقاد بالجنان وعمل بالأركان.
And some say that it's a saying in your tongue and a believing in a belief in your heart and in works that you do. Again, he's repeating something that other people have said.
قال وروى بعضهم هذا مرفوعا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And he says that this has even been narrated by
Abu Salt al-Harawi
عن علي بن أبي موسى saying that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم himself said that.
إسناد اللي هو أبي الصلت الهروي سنده عن علي الرضا وكذا عن أبائه، فينسب إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الإيمان قول باللسان واعتقاد بالجنان وعمل بالأفكار. نقول سيد الإسلام يعني هذا الإسناد موضوع.
He's saying that this narration is false.
من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكنه مستفاد من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
It's not an actual thing that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said.
الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة أعلاها.
But it can be concluded from what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, because he once said صلى الله عليه وسلم that faith includes 70 something branches.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث بين أن الإيمان يشمل هذه الأمور إن كان ليس بهذا اللفظ.
And so a lot of works, a lot of good deeds are parts of Iman.
قال وليس بين هذه العبارات اختلاف معنوي. إذن هذه العبارات ليس بينها اختلاف معنوي. إذا مرة أخرى نقول يعني تعريف السلف للإيمان.
The pious predecessors, the way they defined Iman, we have several definitions. Only different in the way they look, but the meaning is the same. And what are those different definitions? The first one is that Iman is saying and doing. Some of them say it's saying and doing and believing. Some of them say it's saying, doing and believing and sticking to the sunnah. And some of them say it's believing in your heart, saying with your tongue, and performing works of faith. And all four things here mean the same thing.
ليست أقوالا مختلفة وإنما هو اختلاف في التعبير، وكلها إيه المراد بها شيء واحد.
Because what they قال ولكن القول المطلق والعمل المطلق في سلام
يتناول قول القلب واللسان وعمل القلب والجوارح. كل يعني الفريق اللي قال قول وعمل.
Because those who say it's only works and it's saying and doing, that what they really mean by doing is what you do with your hands and feet, etc., and what you do with your heart. They consider that believing is a deed that your heart does. And so they included works or deeds without actually mentioning the word deeds. They included faith or believing without actually mentioning the word believing. They just included it in doing or deeds or works.
قال الدليل على أنهم لا يقصدون بالقول يعني قول اللسان فقط. قال لا يعقل أن السلف يقصدون من قول وعمل يعني يفرضون منه الاعتقاد.
He's saying that it's it would be absurd to think that the pious predecessors don't think that iman includes faith in your heart. It's absurd to believe that they can exclude faith from what the heart believes.
يرد القول الذي باللسان يعني ويطابق اعتقاد القلب. أما إذا كان قولا باللسان لا يطابق اعتقاد القلب فهذا يقيد بأنه قول باللسان يقيد كده يعني يقولون بألسنتهم. فإن الله تعالى لما ذكر المنافقين الذين يقولون بلسان شيئا يخالف اعتقاد قلوبهم.
Because if the pious predecessors when they said it's something you say on your tongue. If what they meant was only with your tongue, then it would have been similar to the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they say with their tongue what is not in their hearts, describing the hypocrites. And the Prophet would not have meant that faith is similar to that.
التي ليست ناشئة عن أعمال
and those who say that it's
what
you say and what you do they can't have meant that what you believe is not included
because
if you don't have faith in your heart then you wouldn't really do anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
يعني قال وكذلك العمل عمل الجوارح بدون أعمال القلوب هي من أعمال المنافقين التي لا يتقبلها
because that would be
فقول
like
السلفي يتضمن القول والعمل الباطن والظاهر إذا الذين قالوا قول وعمل يقصدون إيه باطنا وظاهرا
but what they really mean by saying deeds
ولكن لما كان بعض الناس قد لا يفهم دخول النية في ذلك كان بعض الناس قد لا يفهم من العمل قول القلب داخل في هذا
but because some people
صرحوا به يعني فقال بعضهم
because some people may think that inside what's inside your heart is not included in faith
لاحظوا انه اذا قال قول وعمل
pious predecessors
قد لا يفهم البعض ان النيه
notice that some people misunderstand and so they had to mention the word faith in the heart separately
ثم بين آخرون أن مطلق القول والعمل والنية لا يكون مقبولا إلا بموافقة السنة يعني فريق آخر من السلف يعني لاحظ أن القول والعمل والنية حتى تكون مقبولة عند الله لا بد من موافقة السنة فراح زادوا عليها إيه
another group of the five predecessors also noticed that some people may misunderstand and say that works that you do even if they're not concurrent with sunnah and so they had to add following the sunnah to the definition
ذكر صفات الأقوال والأعمال يعني قالوا قول وعمل يعني نظروا إلى القول والعمل من حيث جنس القول والعمل ولم ينظروا إلى صفته لكن لو أنك سألتهم متى يكون القول والعمل مقبولا عند الله فقول لابد أن يتصف هذا القول والعمل باتباع السنة فالناس يعني نظروا إلى تعريف الإيمان
even though that the previous scholars said that they did not specify explicitly following the sunnah but if you go and ask them how would our works be accepted they would easily tell you that your works have to be according to the sunnah
قال وكذلك قول من قال اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان وعمل بالجوارح جعل القول والعمل اسما لما يظهر فاحتاج أن يضم إلى ذلك اعتقاد القلب لما فريق القول باللسان لما قيد القول بأنه باللسان يحتاج أن يقول إيه أن يذكر الاعتقاد لكن لو أطلق القول ممكن يشمل القول باللسان والقلب لكن لما يقيده القول باللسان يحتاج أن يقول إيه اعتقاد ولا بد أن يدخل في قوله اعتقاد القلب أعمال القلب المقارنة لتصديقه يعني هنا أيضا
إشكال
على الفريق اللي قال اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان وعمل
those who say it's believing in your heart saying with your tongue and قول doing
عمل
with
يشمل العمل
your body
يشمل أعمال القلوب وأعمال الجوارح لكن الفريق اللي راح قال اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان وعمل بالجوارح. فأين عمل القلب إذن؟ قال على هذا التعريف يكون عمل القلب داخلا في اعتقاد القلب.
According to them,
قالوا اعتقاد القلب قصدوا به الاعتقاد اللي هو التصديق الإيمان بالله والملائكة والكتب والرسل والله. وعمل القلب هو محبة الله وخشيته وتعظيمه وتوكل عليه والإخلاص له. هذا كله برضو إيه عندهم يدخل تحت مسمى اعتقاد القلب.
According to them,
believing in your heart includes
all kinds of the works of your heart, like fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. Because they specified working with your body. And so it would appear that they excluded working with your heart from the definition. But when you ask them, they would say, believing in your heart means believing and working with your heart.
قال وكان بعض الفقهاء
saying what they said about increasing and decreasing faith.
نقصان عليه لأنهم وجدوا ذكر الزيادة في القرآن ولم يجدوا ذكر النقص. وهذا أحد الروايتين عن مالك. يقول بالنسبة لأقوال السلف بأن الإيمان يزيد وينقص.
جمهور السلف the majority of them say that it goes up and down because several companions and several prominent scholars have said that. But Imam Malik was asked once whether faith goes up and down. He said it goes up but it doesn't go down because he found textual evidence in the Quran that iman goes up, but he never found the word decrease relating to iman in the Quran.
It's also that always
described the faith in the hearts of faithful people as going more, but never he never described it as going less. But that's one narration that claims that Imam Malik said that. But there's another narration that he claims that he was asked the same question and he said that yes, it goes up and down. But
inshallah,
the correct saying is that it does go up and down because nothing really increases without being prone to decreasing. And also,
أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من كل من صدق عن النساء ما رأيت من ناقصات عقل ودين. وفسر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نقصان الدين لأنها إذا حاضت لم تصلي ولم تصلي.
The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم also indicated, for example, that that women's faith can go less, quote unquote, when they go through the biological changes that that make it okay for them not to fast or not to pray at certain times. And so Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم described that as a decrease in their quote unquote religion. And we also know that Jibreel visited Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and described to him Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And there are different levels of religion, which means that religion can be more or less.
أخرج من النار من كان في قلبه مثقال دينار من إيمان أو وزن دينار من إيمان.
And there's also the hadith that mentioned mentions the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take out of the fire whoever has in their heart the weight of a dinar of faith, and then he tells them to go back and take out those who have the weight of half a dinar of faith, etc.
كوزن جبل أحد، ومنهم من يكون عنده إيمان يعني بهذا المقدار، وزن دينار من إيمان أو وزن نصف دينار من إيمان. ثم في المرة الثالثة يقول الله تعالى له أخرج من النار من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من إيمان.
To take out of the fire whoever has a speck of faith in
بعض الروايات مثقال شعيرة أو مثقال حبة من خردل أو أدنى مثقال حبة من خردل. فإذا معناه أن من دخل النار من أهل الكبائر.
Now this means that يعني those who would do enter the fire
من
from among the Muslims have different amounts of faith in their hearts.
الذي عنده إيمان وزنه دينار إيمانه وزن ذرة أو حبة خردل.
That faith in people's hearts can be less or more compared to each other.
And
so he's saying that the majority of scholars say that faith can be less or more.
قال وبعضهم عدل عن لفظ الزيادة والنقصان إلى لفظ التفاضل فقال أقول الإيمان يتفاضل
said
ويروى هذا عن ابن مبارك
they stayed away from words like decrease and increase, and instead they used
that
faith can be better or worse among people, but that it doesn't actually increase and decrease in one person's heart.
قال ويروى هذا عن ابن المبارك رحمه الله وكان مقصوده الإعراض عن لفظ وقع فيه النزاع إلى معنى
The reason why they did that is that they chose semantics and words that nobody can disagree on, instead of delving into nomenclature that has been disputed upon. So they just simply stayed away from trouble, and they used terms that everybody agrees on.
خلافا ايضا شكليا فقط ان التفاضل والتفاوت معناه الزياده والنقصان يعني ما معنى ان شخصين يتفاضلان في المال مثلا او يتفاوت مالهما يعني معناه ان واحد ماله ازيد من الاخر والثاني ماله انقص من الاخر شخصان يتفاوتان او يتفاضلان في السلم
The author here is, I mean, the Sheikh is saying that this slight difference of semantics is not really a difference of meaning.
قال وأنكر حماد بن أبي سليمان ومن اتبعه تفاضل الإيمان ودخول
الأعمال. And he denied that iman can be better or worse. And this is a fundamental difference with the pious predecessors.
And
those who follow him are the murji'ah of the fuqaha, and one of them is Abu Hanifa, may Allah grant him mercy.
وأخذ هذا القول يعني وقال به فقال أنكروا تفاضل
And this is a mistake that they did when they claimed that Iman cannot be less or more. And they also denied that works are parts of faith. They considered works to be separate from faith. And they also said that you cannot say inshallah, you cannot say that I am a believer or a faithful person inshallah, because you can't doubt faith, because faith is either there completely or not there altogether. If you can't really have a little bit of faith. If you have faith, you have all of it. That's what they say. And again, this group are the murji'a among the murji'a scholars. Now, Ibrahim al-Nakhai is another person, and he is a scholar in Kufa, and he's actually the scholar who taught Hamad ibn Abi Sulaiman. His teachers were staunchly against the arguments of the Murji'a. Because they used to say that Iman is works and sayings, and that they used to say that you can say inshallah about being faithful, and they said that Iman can be less or more, and those are the older ones, those are the ones that are closer to Rasulullah and his companions. But Hamad ibn Sulaiman came and differed with his predecessors.
التي قالها حماد ووافقه عليها أبو حنيفة رحمه الله خالفوا بها يعني منهج السلف وردوا عليهم بردود سيأتي إن شاء الله توجيها في الدرس القادم إن شاء الله في الدرس القادم نأتي إلى الكلام مرجاء الفقهاء
إن شاء الله we'll talk in the next session about what the Murji'a said and how the people of Sunnah replied to that. And we will stop here and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard and said. Any questions?
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.